really the story of a certain period of time. Rather, it's pouring out the souls of men. There are many people that compose different parts of Sacred Tefillin, but David HaMelech transmitted it. And David HaMelech has a very interesting Yalkut, the Medrash, that describes the mission of David HaMelech. Actually, in the past Sedra in Bereshis, we read that after the Chet, after the sin of Adam Harishon, the Torah there enumerates the Zeh Sefer Tov V'Sodom, which repeats the various generations of mankind. And the Medrash says that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made pass before Adam Harishon every individual that would be living in every generation, all the Davis, they made pass before Adam Harishon. It's very interesting, really, because when you think of it, as the Midrashim tell us, all the neshamis, all the souls of all of mankind, really were incorporated in the person of Adam Harishon. It was only after the chet, after the sin of Adam Harishon, that the souls were like dispersed, and like you could picture it, like shattered into particles, and there were thousands, hundreds, millions of souls. It all came from Adam Harishon. So it would be proper to show Adam Harishon all the neshamis and all the generations that will rise up because of his action. So it said that he showed him David HaMelech. He came to David HaMelech and he showed him how long each person or each neshama would live. Came to David HaMelech, says that David was supposed to live for 3 hours. The neshama of David was supposed to appear only for 3 hours. So Adam Harishon immediately offered 70 of his years to David HaMelech. Originally, Adam was supposed to live for 1,000 years, but he lived only 930 years, because 70 years were given to David HaMelech. And Adam also said, this beautiful person, this beautiful soul, when he saw David, I present him with Malchus and also with Shira. And for the 70 years of his life, that he should sing before you. So we see that there is some kind of a relationship between Adam Harishon and David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim. Because first of all, why did he only stop on the neshama of David HaMelech? What attracted him? And what was the idea of the 3 hours? Why was David destined only to live for 3 hours? But the Talmud, I don't know if you've heard before, that the Talmud describes the life of Adam Harishon. Now, Adam Harishon was created on the sixth day of creation. When we're speaking about the sixth day, it means literally a day like we have a day. The first 3 days, you can debate before the sun and the stars and the galaxy came about. Maybe a day was a longer period of time. But when you were dealing with the sixth day, you're already dealing with a time pattern that we have today. So Adam Harishon was born and he was created in the sixth day and he was given one mission to fulfill till Shabbos. If he would be able to fulfill this mission, then the Mizmor Shilian, then Shabbos would appear in the world, all the neshamas would come to its ultimate goal, which was destined at the time of creation. And if he failed, we would undergo what we go through now, until we come to the Elef HaShvi, like we say, to the 7,000, and that will be the Yom HaShabbos when the world will come to its Tikkun, to its ultimate purpose and fulfillment. But all of this was destined to have take place during the life of Adam Harishon. Now, according to the Talmud, the day consists of out. In the ninth hour of the day, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Adam Harishon of his duties and his restrictions, and he commanded him to obey the Sigui, the commandment dealing with the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, and he also warned him of the dire consequences that would take place. All of mankind changed because of that. And all that Adam Harishon had to endure, really, or to stand up to this Nisayon, to this temptation, was only for 3 hours. The ninth, the tenth, the 11th, and the 12th hour. If he wouldn't have succumbed to that, then he would have brought in the Shabbos itself, but since he failed, so therefore, the entire transformation that took place with all the souls in the whole world, as we know it now, came into effect and came into being. So it seems that these 3 hours are a very important point. In fact, Cain, I mean, we can't really envision what man was at that time. I mean, it's foolish to think that when you read the Torah, the storybook, well, it is like you teach in Sunday school, that's what would happen. But obviously, they just wanted to put it in, there were certain messages that the Torah had to get apart, to get across. So that's why they mentioned that the whole story of the Bereishis, for instance. Why was it mentioned? If we try to picture God and picturing water and the heaven and the smoke and the cloud. I mean, really wasn't that sense. So why was it mentioned? So basically, the Bereishis part really was mentioned, Rashi tells us, that's very apropos, in order that we should know that God created the world, and we should be able to tell all the nations that God created the world, and he gave it to whomever he chose to give it to. And now it's a spoil, it was given to the Jews. For that reason, they wrote the story of Bereishis. Because now you know what is written there. Maisa Bereishis is something very very deep, mystically, Kabbalistically, and very few individuals in history were able to understand Maisa Bereishis. And if they understood it, it wasn't from a simple interpretation of Bereishis, but it was taught by mystical concepts and delving, so why did they have to write it? It was only written for that purpose. Now, another example of that, when you look back in Bereishis, is the last week we read, not of the flood, but we read of the Tower of Babel, the Maisa Dora Floga. Now again, when you read the Torah, the Tower of Babel, you don't know what it is. I still remember the Sunday school picture, showed you a little tower, showed you pictures. When I went to Sunday school, that's what they showed you. But that really wasn't the story of the Tower of Babel, and you would go away with a foolishness to believe that that was it. But what was it? So there are different approaches. The Ramban says it was a theological aberration, in the sense that they tried, it was a form of idolatry, and he says, it's Kabbalah, and you can't really know it from the essence of the Pasuk itself. So why was it written? So the Rambam says, and the guy in Moreh Nevuchim, the guy with the plagues, says it was written for a very simple reason. In order that people will ask questions, oh, I'm telling me a story, here there was Olam HaRishon, and all of a sudden you have 70 nations, hundreds of nations with an entire UN, and everybody speaks a different dialect, everybody speaks a different language. If everybody comes from Olam HaRishon, how do you have different colors and different sizes and different shapes and different tongues and different languages? You all come from one father, so there has to be a closer kinship. How did this take place? So only because of that, so that people shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be misled or should have some concept. So it tells us about the Dora Floga, that there was a Dora that tried to build the Tower of Babel, and they were dispersed and different climates, and God himself gave them different understanding. God themselves gave them, this is last week said, God themselves gave man a different way of discussion, a different understanding. Because regionally, they spoke, like Hirsch explains, they spoke one tongue and one language. And one language wasn't only the meaning of the word, but they each expressed themselves. You know, what is language? This is a table and this is a chair, right? Who made this up? Who said this was a table? And how did it begin? How was it first called a table? There was somebody, obviously, that had to give each name. Just like Adam, it says, gave names to the animals, to the beasts. He described that he felt a name, a language, is the, actually, you're speaking out, you're uttering, you're articulating certain feelings that you have. You ever see a child, when you have a child, you're head over heels in love with a little child, and you have such strong affection and emotions that you give him a name, Tzatzke, or a name that has no meaning, or Pinny, or Ginny, or whatever the name is. It's just, you don't know what it means. This is a way that you're expressing, and you find the satisfaction for your sentiment and for your emotion. Now, if two people have the same sentiments and the same emotions, they would use really the same word in description, right? So that's really what the world was. Like, it was Sofra Echad and Lashon Echad. Spoke one language, but it wasn't only from the tongue, the snorkel. It was also from the inside, from the depth. You could have in English, when they decided this was a table, everybody felt some kind of a necessity to articulate and call this a table. But you could have English that in England they'll call this a table and this a chair, and in America we'll call this a table and this a chair. It could very well be. But we're going to cause a lot of confusion, right? This picture, a guy calls up in England, ship me 100 tables. So send him 100 chairs. So what'll be from that? So the idea was that originally people thought the same, expressed the same, and there was this closeness, this fraternity. But after God separated them, so not only was it a different language that they spoke, but they even thought different. And that's where all the Torahs began. This was why the story was written in the Torah. So we're trying to say, I'm just getting back to, we can't take the stories of the Torah literally. They're there really to give us a little insight in order that we should believe and appreciate. Believing and appreciating, do you know that how many years passed from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time of creation, till Moshe Rabbeinu was some 2,500 years, the Kabbalah said there. You'll say, how did Moshe know what happened there? So the Rabbeinu Shalom told him, we believe in revelation, that every word came from God, right? Saying, yeah, but maybe his father told him. So say, his father, you know how many people that had to pass through 2,500 years from Moshe Rabbeinu to here, you know? So obviously if it passed through 50 people at least, only from 2,500 years, had to pass through 300 people. So each person adds a little more. So obviously it's only because God told us this. But really, when you look at the ages of the Torah, you see a little different. Unless I mention it to you, you'll be shocked. We read about the Torah flood, the Kohorites, all the people were bad. Were all the people, mamish all the people that you think were bad at that time? I'll tell you two people that were living at that time. At least two, three, and you'll tell me if you think they were bad. Avraham Avinu was living at that time. At the time of the Torah flood, he was 48 years old, if you were chronologically. According to Seder HaDeos. Now, Avraham Avinu surely wasn't involved with this Torah flood, with this evil scheme. Noah, according to some, was still living. He was living. Eber was still living. All of these great people were still living. Some of them lived for close to 1,000 years. So when you'll come out with a cheshbon sometimes, these are some of the books that have the chronological the pictures, you know, the map. From Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way back to Adam Elisha, if they had to tell him what happened, they only had to go through 5 or 6 people in those 2,500 years. So it's really not that there were hundreds of people and each one changed up something else. It was literally 5 or 6 people. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote and told you and taught and preached that there was an Adam Elisha, there was a Chet of an Eitz Hadas, of course he didn't need a better source than Hashem told him with the Torah. But aside from that, he also knew because it only passed through 4 or 5 people, they were there, and they actually told him all of it. So that's why it's very important when you read through the stories of Bereishis and so on. It wasn't written there. It was written for these Limudim, for these lessons, in order to strengthen our Amunah and strengthen our faith in Torah and Hashem's book. Getting back to this, so it was interesting what kind of person he was. You would say, Cain, where was Cain born? Just to give you a little more of an example of what we're talking about. Cain was born in Gan Eden. There was a question that Hevel was born in Gan Eden or Cain was born in Gan Eden. They say, how could Cain be born in Gan Eden? They were, one of them was created when in the middle of Friday, and then he was thrown out of Gan Eden just a few hours later. So I mean, Cain was born after Adam and Chava united. Immediately Cain was born. It wasn't 9 months. He didn't have to go to any obstetricians. He didn't have to take tests. Adam and Risha, they united, they joined, and immediately a full-fledged Cain walked out. And that's why when Chava speaks there, she says, Kornisi Ish. When she saw Cain, Kornisi Ish Elohim, I have a man that I acquired from God. It wasn't a baby, it was Ish. So there was a whole different nature. The world was completely, totally different. And then once when the Chet came about, we chose, Adam and Rishon made the choice, for better or for worse, and this is the beautiful world that we have now, that we're going through, until all our Neshamas will help us finally come around in a different form to the Mizmah Shiliyem HaShabbos, to the Yom of Shabbos. So David HaMelech, Adam Avishan, the picture felt a little bit disturbed. I mean, he hadn't fulfilled his mission now. Who's going to help bring Klal Yisrael back to its purpose? So he saw all of a sudden that David came there with 3 hours. The 3 hours related to his chet, so he figured, David is supposed to be the one. So he says, please give him 70 years. And give him Malchus, David is Melech HaMashiach, from him. And Melech HaMashiach will be the force, and the Malchus base David, the throne, the kingdom of David, to bring the people around to their purpose. And also give him Sefer Tehillim, give him song, give him praise. So you see, it's that Sefer Tehillim was, in a sense, praise of David as the Keah, almost the power of the Malchus of David, of Melech HaMashiach, to keep a Jew, but to bring a Jew and to bring the world back to its people. It is interesting how what we attribute to Psalms, the Havel, even by the non-Jewish world, right? You go, their services are based totally in the Psalms of David, Now, when you read the Psalms of David, a lot of it doesn't seem to be, as I'm saying, a lot of it may be boring, and really, what is there? But it's the soul, and it depends on your soul. I mean, if the Psalms of David is our tefillah, it's our prayer, it depends how much you put into it as to what you can take out of it. And it also has some mystical significance, because we know, God forbid, when somebody is sick, you misspell to the Benishleim, what do? You take Sefer Tehillim. Or we find in even the Shulchan Aruch, we were learning last night, after Mincha, when it says when a person travels on the road, he should say Tehillim. At that time, traveling was a major undertaking, so a person should say Tehillim. So Tehillim in itself has Kedusha, it has sanctity to it. All of Torah has sanctity. When you learn Daniel, it's sacred because it's from the Kisvei HaKedesh. When you learn Shmuel, it's sacred, it's Kisvei HaKedesh. But this is something different, Tehillim. Tehillim is not just a question of being from the Holy Writ, canonized. Tehillim is the essence of the soul. It's the language that the soul is able to appreciate and communicate with God. This is the language that when you speak to a doctor, you have to know how to speak and how to describe or whatever it is. This is the language that we speak to the Reiter, to the Danish level. So that is really the greatness of what? Of Sefer Tehillim. So let's see what David HaMelech starts with. Actually, he starts with Ashrei. Another Medrash points out that Moshe Rabbeinu concluded the Torah. The Medrash points out that Moshe concluded the Torah. Rabbi Yisrael, praise thou, you Yisrael, Michal Mecho, who can be likened to you? And David HaMelech begins Sefer Tehillim by using the same term, really, Ashrei. So there is a continuation, again, just like the Sefer Tehillim, just like the Torah, of Moshe had its purpose, has its mission. David continues with Sefer Tehillim, which also has the purpose in mind to be able for a person to serve Hashem, and just like by the mitzvahs, to enjoy good fortune in the world to come.